If you don't have a Bible or if you don't have the English Standard Version, and we're going to go to Psalm 84 and talk about heart of worship, a heart of worship. And that's really been a theme today, and I want to expound on that. And really, this is a message that you should not leave with a heavy burden of, oh man, I need to do this in my life, or here's where I need to grow. I'm hoping that as we leave today to go and support missions and the things that our youth need for just ministry, that you will be uplifted and rejoicing in God's presence and His love. Sometimes you just need a little boost of encouragement. Amen? I know there's times I've needed that, and so hopefully that's what will be accomplished today. Now, if you cannot look at these verses and own them, then maybe it could be a struggle, and you say, man, I'm not doing very well here. But hey, that's between you and God. Psalm 84, verse 1 through 12. Now, the subtitle of this text is about someone who's a choir master, according to ESV. Gittith is the name, a psalm of the sons of Korah. And then it begins with the actual writings. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." That's a phrase that we had in one of the songs that we sang. "My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." In verse 3, it says, "Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Verse 4, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." And then we have that word Selah. Some people say Selah. Either way, it's a great phrase of pause and consider. Verse 5, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere." There's that verse that comes out in the song. And this is interesting. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this psalm that's been written. A song of rejoicing, a song of praise. A song that recognizes the true value of your presence. And as we consider these words, Lord, I pray that our hearts are uplifted and that we will have a greater longing for you as our soul cries for you. I just pray your special anointing upon each and every one here today. Be with our youth as they're doing a great thing in putting these things together. But Lord, I want to pray a special blessing on the leadership for Shane and Amanda and Lou and Scott. But especially we lift up Shane and Amanda to you as our youth leaders, our youth pastor. Lord, they're doing such a great work, and I just pray your anointing on them. And that this will go well today for them. But Lord, may it be a time of rejoicing in your presence. Even around the fellowship of a fundraiser, may we rejoice that you are with us. And may we be attracted to you in such a way that we long to be with you always. I pray your blessing on this time as we look to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A heart of worship. This psalm certainly expresses that. In John chapter 4, verse 24, just recently we went through this passage of Scripture. We talked about the woman at the well and the absurdity of that entire conversation. That a woman who was Not even a full-blooded Jew would be at a well where Jesus was, and that they would have a conversation was absurd. That just doesn't happen. And then for it to be a deep discussion about God and his presence and how we're going to worship in the future in spirit and in truth. And yet Jesus gives her some of the most in-depth understanding of God and worship that's ever been expressed. The irony and the amazement of that whole scene is played out. And we've gone over it before, so we don't need to do it again. But I want you to see that, if it's up on the screen, how Jesus said, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The day is coming, Jesus said, when this is the way it shall be. And if you look at the psalm, you see that there's a propheticness to what we just read as our text about understanding the presence of God. I don't think anyone could have fathomed that the Holy Spirit, who was in the Holy of Holies, the Holy Spirit that was in this place that only one man would enter, and very rarely at that, this same Holy Spirit that would strike someone dead if they came into that presence unworthily, that same Spirit that sacrifices had been made over and over by the blood of calves and goats and rams and sheep, along with many other sacrifices, that same Spirit would literally be within you. Unbelievable, and yet so true. That God's presence chooses you as his dwelling place. Wow. Do you appreciate it? Do you truly fathom and appreciate how awesome it really is? And when we come together as a body, it should be a glorious time. Every single time. The Word of God does tell us that where two or three are gathered in my name, what happens? He says he's in the midst of them, right? And we have a few more than three here. And we're coming with his presence within us. And it's interesting, we have a Holy Spirit presence here in the church, but when we have that vibrance of his presence, it's because you brought him with you. That's why we have such a great anointing in the services, because you bring him with you. And as we come together as a family, as we come together as believers, there's a glorious sense of God that should never be taken for granted. Do you long to be in the presence of God? Do you anticipate and long for the coming together in his house, to be in his presence? You know, back in the day, revival was easy to put together. When I say that phrase revival, it means different things to different people. But the phrase revival was quite common years ago. We would have revival meetings two or three times a year, maybe more. And the meetings would start on a weekday or possibly a Sunday, but go through the entire week. And there was this ongoing church experience, whether it was as a tent revival or at a church or wherever it would be, and people would come and they could not wait to get off of work that day because we get to go to church again tonight. You know, I can't wait. I sure hope I don't have too hungry of a stomach because I don't have time to put a big meal together. We'll just have to eat a little bit and get to church. We don't want to be late. Don't want to miss the best seats. And guess what? The best seats weren't in the back. All the people in the back said amen. The best seats were up front because you could get to the altar quicker. There was a longing to be in his presence, to be at church, to be together always. And revival services were common and easily put together. You want to know how difficult it is today to do that? Nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. Times have changed. Now, we could talk about what has changed. Well, there's a multitude of things that have changed. It used to be that one income was enough to live on. Right? Remember those days? But it doesn't work that way anymore. So everyone's working full-time jobs, and it's difficult to raise a family that way. Now, I shouldn't say everyone. Some people are able to be blessed enough to have just enough income to pay those bills, and you don't have to get those extra jobs. And that's great if you're able to do that, but it's becoming more rare. Those are big changes in our culture and in our families. The numbers of those that are husbands and wives with their children all together from the very first marriage all the way through graduation is rare when it's that unit family that's never been broken up. Sometimes we're on our third or fourth marriages and multiple children together in many different situations, and it's a complicated issue. But those are culture things. Those are the reality. Why is it that we can't seem to get excited about coming to church? I don't have a great answer for that. I was thinking today while we were worshiping, this is odd, my brain works in funny ways. You probably have figured that out by now. But I was thinking about examples of being somewhere that would have been just a great experience. We have someone here today that was in one of the greatest experiences in Minnesota Viking football ever. What do we call that experience, Kevin and Elise? The Minneapolis Miracle. The phrase was coined in the action of a great play. The sad thing is it didn't lead to a Super Bowl. Everybody cry for the Vikings. Come on. But I just want you, if you've seen it on TV, if you watched it live, I watched it live and I just about came out of my seat. I did come out of my seat, and that's not normal for me. But we have someone that was there that experienced the volume of the shouts of the people, the ecstatic electricity of the awesomeness of what they just saw. And it could have been a Cowboys play, but it wasn't. But I want you to understand something that's important. 1,000 days like that do not compare to one day with God. I don't care what your miracle experience on this earth is, the Minnesota Vikings miracle play. That's just one of, you can name so many different things. For me, a greater experience was having the opportunity to have an elk hunt and experience my first opportunity to take a bull, and it was successful. That was a shaking, amazing experience, and yet 1,000 of those doesn't compare to one with God. That's the way the psalmist writes. To be in your presence, to be with you, it's above anything else. Long to be in his presence more than any other thing, any other person. That is the challenge that's before us. To have that kind of heart of worship, to be uplifted in such a way that you cannot wait to be with him and your family as we celebrate his love. I believe the days are coming back when there will be a greater longing than there has been for many, many years. We have been dormant. We have been silent. We've been asleep in the church. There are a few. There's always the chosen few that seem to get it. There's always a few that get it, but I'm talking multitudes are going to get it. And there is going to be a revival in a sense, not so much like maybe you thinking of the old school, old time revival, but there is going to be a revival of desire for God's presence because we've tried everything else and it's failed us. Nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to compare. We've tried relationships. We've tried raising families. We've tried the job of a lifetime. We've tried getting the Minnesota Vikings to the Super Bowl. It keeps failing us. And I will tell you this, and I'm going to say it now because it's going to happen one day, and it's going to be this great celebration. The Vikings win the Super Bowl. And you know what? It's not going to be that big a deal. It's not that important. It doesn't compare to one day with God in his presence. When you can get to that place where you realize being with him is better than anything. I realize we've got young people here dating and all that stuff. There's no one hot enough and gorgeous and good-looking and awesome enough to really turn that inside soul to the point of, wow! God is the only one that can truly do that. You will be heartbroken to think a marriage is what it takes to find that kind of love. You will be disappointed. Now you're looking at me like, how are you and Tina doing? Do we need to have a talk? Well, we both know that we cannot find fulfillment in each other without having first been fulfilled by God. That's the truth. I will disappoint her. She will disappoint me. But when God is where you lean for those fulfilling, satisfying senses of desire that need to take place in your heart, your soul longs and longs for something more, and it's only through God that it is found. When you have that soul longing satisfied by God, then your relationship with your wife and the relationship with your husband becomes something spectacular and special and awesome. Because you're not leaning on them to fulfill, you've already been fulfilled. You're leaning on them to fulfill their needs. You're like, how can I help you better as a husband? How can I be a better husband to you? How can I love you better? How can I be a better father to our children? How can I be a better grandfather to my grandchildren? You're looking to how you can pour in, not how you can take out. Because you've already been filled up. Being in God's presence is what it's all about. No relationship will ever compare. No Minnesota miracle will ever compare. No 6 or 7 Super Bowl rings. How many do the Patriots have now? Too many, right? 6? You're not a Patriots fan, I hope. Okay, whoa, that was close. I'm just teasing you, bud. Hunter, right? Cool deal. That's an awesome name, by the way. Isn't that cool? Hunter. Yeah, I like it. Turn with me to Psalm 42. Just a couple verses here. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. Once again, choir master, Maskell, sons of Korah. And this is a phrase in a song that you know. It says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is the truth of every individual that's ever been. Every human being that's ever been longs for the living God. An atheist doesn't know that's what he's longing for, but he is. His soul longs to know him, even when he denies him privilege. He longs for something more than he has, and he cannot find satisfaction anywhere else. You long for him, whether you realize it or not, like a deer that pants for water. And deer don't pant very often, but they do pant. I've grown up hunting my whole life, and I've seen it many times when a deer pants for the water that he's thirsty for, or she. It's quite an amazing thing, and I always think of this verse when I see it. You know, deer can't sweat. They're like a dog that way. And so they need to pant to cool down, and then they thirst. They need the sustenance of the living water. So do you. Does your soul long to be with him? If you're not there, you need to see through different lenses. If you think that person is going to satisfy, you're wrong. If you think that job is going to satisfy, you're wrong. If you think that money is going to satisfy, you're wrong. If you think that experience with your football team is going to do it, it's not. It doesn't matter. All these things fall short. Only God is the one that will truly satisfy. He is better than anything. Will you get it? Will you long for him? If you do, you will be satisfied. You will rejoice in his presence. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord. Psalm 84, verse 1, that's what it says. Your dwelling place. Well, here's the cool thing. This was written before Jesus came to the earth, died, rose again. It was prophetic in a sense, and yet he still experienced the love of God in a very profound way. But here's the thing. You are the dwelling place of his presence. So let me tell you something that you need to know. You're lovely. Is that cool? God thinks you're awesome. You're good enough for him to dwell with you. You are phenomenal. You are special. You are something. You're not a nothing. You're an everything. As far as God is concerned, he wants to be with you always. The Spirit of God is in my heart. The house of God is his church. And his church is not this place, this building. It's you. You are his church. You are his people. You are the dwelling place of the Lord Almighty. And that is something that we need to grasp onto and be thankful for. It's interesting, the sparrow and the swallow find a home, a nest where they may have their young, a place near your altar, it says in Psalm 84, verse 3, a place near your altar. It's an expression of worship to God. Even the birds in making their nests are worshiping the Lord Almighty. And I think about Matthew chapter 6, where it talks about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. I don't have that on the screen for you, but it talks about how he takes care of the sparrows. It talks about how you have your hairs numbered. Excuse me. It's interesting to me that he doesn't say in the Word of God that he knows how many hairs are on your head. It says he numbers your hairs. And as I wash my hair and I see one of those little short little stubby things fall to the sink, or to the tub, wherever I am, I'm taking a shower, whatever I'm doing, and I see one of those little hairs, I go, I wonder which number that is. I do. That's what my brain does. It wonders which number I just lost. And well, there goes that one. Guess he won't be back. Pretty soon, I'm just going to make it really, really easy and just take them all off. You know, just be done with it. Right? You're all saying, please, no, don't. I had my poll. It was 50-50. Some said yes, some said no. I shaved my head, in case you're wondering, for speed to light. One day in God's courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, Psalm 84, verse 10. It would even be better to be the doorkeeper of God's house than to go into the shelter or the tents of the wicked. We talked about the bride of Christ, the wedding supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I gave you many, multiple verses that relayed how God looks at us as his bride and we look at him as our groom, and that we are engaged and one day we will be fully married. One day we will be taken up to meet him in the air and we shall be with him forever. He is going to take us back to the place he's prepared for us. And I also shared with you how John looked at his position as being the best man at the wedding of God and his bride. That's how he saw himself. And here's another expression which implies a very similar position. It would be better to be the doorkeeper of God's house than be in the shelter or the tents of the wicked. I'd rather stand at the door of his presence than to be with the wicked in their tents where they're protected from the different climates and the snow or whatever else is going on. I'd rather be there at the door than with the wicked. Great understanding of the heart of worship. Do you long above all else to be in God's house, to be in his presence? I pray that you do. I pray that your longing isn't about what you can get from coming into his presence, but what you can give to the coming into his presence. How can I be a part of what God is doing should be your greatest question, rather than how can you fulfill my greatest needs? He does fulfill your needs. I think we've established that. But you are able to fulfill his needs as well, because we are in this together. How can I help you, Lord? How can I be a blessing to you? Psalm 84, verse 4 through verse 7. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, it says, how I would go with the throng. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. My bad. Let's go back to Psalm 84 instead of 42. There we go. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Oh, do you ever get that song in your head? You just can't get it out. Isn't that fun? All day long, there it is. Well, when God is there in a powerful way in his presence, and he's driving you and encouraging you and challenging you to worship, just do it. Quit fighting him. I'm not saying close your eyes while you're driving down, you know, traffic streets and all that and pray. You know, if you could pray while you're driving, it's okay. Just don't close your eyes, you know. There is no verse in the Bible that says close your eyes when you pray. That was a man-made up thing, by the way. I have a pastor friend that believes that we've gone way too far, and so he prays with his eyes open all the time. And it's so funny because I'm sitting there in a group meeting and he's standing there, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for today as we come in your presence. And he's looking at me and I'm like, you're looking at me. Stop it. And he's probably thinking, you're looking at me. It was just kind of funny. But there is no rule about praying like that with your eyes closed. So pray in your car while you're driving with your eyes open. Worship him with your whole heart. It says you're ever praising. That's the challenge. Verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing, ever praising. Hallelujah. 1 Peter. Going to the New Testament real briefly. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 8. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with God that is inexpressible and filled with glory. You rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That is the joy unspeakable and full of glory is the way the King James says it. And that is the heart of worship that we should express. Joy unspeakable. Ever praising. Those that dwell in God's presence have blessings. The ever-praising part is one of those things. You simply have joy in your heart, and people are wondering, why are you smiling? It's snowing outside.
Snowing.
Smile. It's snowing. God's laughing at you right now.
Well, maybe that's too harsh. I think he finds us funny once in a while. God has a sense of humor. He does. And the proof is that you have a sense of humor. I mean, isn't that enough? I mean, there's other ways we can certainly look at things. I mean, I think Elijah, when he's talking to the worshipers of Baal, and he's really razzing them. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's asleep. How many thought that was pretty funny? I mean, he just really goads them big time, and I'm laughing. Even as a kid in Sunday school, I thought that was funny. So that says something about me. Let's go back to Psalm 84 again, verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. You will never be stronger than through his Spirit. That is the greatest strength there is. Verse 7, it says, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. You renew your strength. We know there's a passage of Scripture that speaks to that, being renewed in strength like the wings of an eagle. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 speaks about how I can be poor or I can be blessed, well off. And then he says this word in verse 13, I can do all things
through Christ who gives me strength. I can live without and I can live with much. Either way, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Some say through Christ who gives me strength. They wanted to make sure we know it's Christ we're speaking of here. He is the one who gives you strength. As you come into His presence, you find His strength within you. Hallelujah.
Then there's this weird verse in verse 6 of our text. It says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Well, to us, that means nothing. We don't understand what that is, just on face value. So you have to look it up. You have to understand the context, what the original understanding of Baca is. Baca, the valley of Baca, is referencing mourning and sorrows. Mourning and sorrows. In other words, your heart aches within you because of a loss of some kind. Some kind of loss that brought mourning or sorrow to you. And it says that you can go through this valley of sorrows. You can go through the valley of mourning. And yet because of God's presence, it becomes a place of springs and wells. The living water of God's presence within you through the mourning of an experience. You find a rejoicing because He is with you. A heart of worship even in your loss. Isn't that good to know? It's great to know that truth. The early rains also covers it with pools, it says. We are blessed as we come into God's presence. The good news is that your presence with Him does not end when you leave this place. His presence is with you. But the encouragement that you need to also understand is that there is something significant and awesome and wonderful about coming together in His presence. The Word of God tells us to not forbid the coming together of the saints. That we should come together. How often should we do this? Well, my parents' rule back in the day was anytime the church doors were open. Remember those days? Well, now it's like, you know, if I make it once a month, I'm doing pretty good. And I'm not trying to get after people that take vacations, things like that. I'm not referring to that. But if you have no really good excuse for being here, I'm wondering why not? Why aren't you here? I mean, I'm not going to take it personal and go beat myself up, but maybe I will. No, I'm just kidding. But if you want to be here, you make a way. If you want to come together in His presence, you make a way. If coming here is painful to you, I don't know what to say to help you fix that. Because the heart of God is to be with His family. The heart of God is to come together in worship. The heart of God is to come together for prayer and support and encouragement. The heart of God is to be united as one. The body must be strong, and the body is not strong if you lose part of your finger, right, Justin? He did this funky little handshake to me. I don't know, anybody else get that thing? I'm just going to tease him a little bit. He lost part of his finger in an accident, and it's like, I know a few people that have done that, but then he does this funny handshake. I'm like, ooh, what'd you just do? I gave him permission. I said, okay, that's fine. But guess what? There's going to be a handicap at times because of the loss of just a little bit of that finger. Just a little bit. Can you imagine if you lost the whole arm? Which could have happened. We're blessing God for that not happening. And yet when you're not here, that's how I feel. I feel like we're missing part of our body. Now, I understand the natural understandings of work and things like that, but I'm trying to help you understand that as we come together as a body, we find strength. There are ministries that we want to do in our church, but I can't do them myself.
I need you. We need you. We need to know how we can grow as a body, as a church, to reach our community. Our greatest desire ought to be coming together in His presence so we can reach the lost. That should be our greatest desire. And yet for so many years, the way I've seen it so many times is that, you know, if church works out with my schedule, then I'll be there. If it doesn't work out, sorry. When did that happen? It used to be that coming together as believers was the highest priority. But let's get back to the challenge and the encouraging word. When you come together in His presence, you are blessed. Do you want to know how many times you, as and I'm saying this in general, have shared with me, you know, I wasn't going to come today, but I'm so glad I did. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that in my 26, 7 years of ministry, I would be able to buy the house with cash. I'm serious. It happens all the time. Why is that? It's something about His word and His promises coming true. Do you long to be with Him? Do you long to come into His presence? And there are many churches that people attend all across the world that are places to come and find refreshing and grace and glory and wonder. To have that heart, that even when you go through a valley, springs of living water flow. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does He withhold. The blessings of God are real. The blessings of God pour out. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says a similar thing. Matthew 7, verse 9 through 11, it says, which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? God wants to bless you. He wants to bring blessing to your life. Now, I'm not a prosperity preacher saying just pray for $1 million or pray for diamonds or pray for a Rolls Royce or pray for whatever and God will give it to you. I'm not that preacher. If you want that, you're going to have to go somewhere else. But I am one that believes in the blessings of God. And that blessing can come in a multitude of ways. It can come with $1 million. It can come with a brand new vehicle. It can come, but there's so much more than things. The blessings of God are eternal. They're deeper than things that money can buy. And you need to understand that His blessings are real. If you're asking for food or fish or something that sustains you, He's not going to give you a stone and hit you over the head with it. He's going to give you something that brings life. And those blessings come to His children. And as we looked at our text in Psalm 84, we see that those things are part of the heart of worship, that He brings them to us. Because He is a gracious and loving Father. And yes, He sometimes gives instruction, encouragement. I still remember my dad when I would say, Dad, it hurts when I do this. And he'd say, well, don't do that. Okay, thanks. Where's Mom? Mom, it hurts when I do this. Oh, you poor thing. Can I kiss your little boo-boo? Right? That's how we kind of experienced that love today. That was kind of cool. Like, Mommy. But sometimes I needed the firm dad hug, the pat on the back and say, love you, son, proud of you. Go get him. Mom didn't say that, not the way dad could. Sometimes we need that father, sometimes we need that mother, and God does both. But you need to be in His presence to experience it. And yet we deny Him too often. We're going to end with Psalm
84, verse 12. And then we're going to go and have a great fellowship around some baked potatoes and have a fundraiser with the food that's for sale as well. Psalm 84. Verse 12. Simple, to the point. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Do you trust him? May your heart and flesh cry out for the living God. May your heart's desire be to come into the presence of God in worship. Dwell in the presence of God. See his hand of blessing upon your life today and forevermore. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me as we pray? I'm so glad you came today. My prayer is that you find great blessing. There are times where it is a sacrifice to get here. I know that. And I'm glad you made that sacrifice today. I pray that you will find fulfillment in every sacrifice for him. Sometimes we may not sense his presence, but many times we do. But his promises are true. There is blessing in his presence. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us to have hearts of worship, to long to be with you rather than to find many different ways and even excuses of how we do not come to you. I pray, Lord, that you will instill in us a new desire, a fresh desire to be in your presence. And that should happen daily, wherever we are. It should happen as we are at work. It should happen as we are at home at night, in the mornings when we get up. But also, Lord, it should bring about a desire to come together with family who are all part of this wonderful family today, as we long to be in your presence together. I pray your blessing to pour out, and that lives will be touched. People will be loved. We're so thankful for new people, new families, young people. And we just pray, God, that they know how much we love them too. That we want to see others come to know you and know your love as we have experienced it. I pray, God, your blessing to flow freely in and through us into our wonderful community in Glendive. We thank you for it. We just pray a blessing on our fellowship downstairs. And we just pray a blessing on the hands that prepared the food, the young people that are involved, the leaders. And may it be glorifying to your name as we raise the funds for this ministry of the youth, but also for Speed the Light. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Make your way downstairs. Let